The following is a Pro Football Network podcast, the primary voice for pro football at profootballnetwork.com.
Kyle Yates here with PFN live on Radio Row leading into Super Bowl 58. I'm joined here today by Kevin Blackstone. Kevin, thank you so much for taking a few minutes out and jumping on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I have to say, I noticed the shirt right as you walked up, Maryland Terps here. So I want to talk through the big news was Talia Tungavailoa, younger brother of Tua Tungavailoa, trying to enter into the transfer portal, and then NCAA says, nope, you're going into the NFL draft. So we got to talk about him because, obviously, the big brother, he's going to be a notable name as we go into the NFL draft. What are your thoughts here on Talia Tungavailoa?
Well, I think his idea was to go to another school and polish his resume, so to speak, and hopefully that would improve his shot with the NFL. Not as big as his brother, not thought of quite as well, right, as his brother, but has shown signs that he can play in the NFL. So now he's got to accelerate that. I'm still not certain about how and why the NCAA reached the conclusion that it did. I'm not a fan of the NCAA. I almost am always confused about any conclusion that they reach. He's with a brilliant offensive mind in Mike Locksley at Maryland, who I think I heard will be here tomorrow on Radio Row talking about a variety of different things. And I'm sure Mike will get him as prepared as can be for the NFL draft.
We go from talking about one quarterback entering into the NFL draft from quarterbacks that are playing in Super Bowl 58, obviously coming out in the NFL draft, viewed widely differently, right? We had Patrick Mahomes, number 10 overall pick in 2017 NFL draft, obviously has gone on to be already in the greatest of all time conversation. Then you got Brock Purdy on the other side of it, the Mr. Irrelevant label, last pick in his respective draft class. Normally going into a game like that, we would say, well, this is a very unlevel playing field. But do you believe that this is a level playing field based on the way both these players are playing right now?
Well, it's kind of hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you just laid it out. I mean, everything he's done so far in a brief career suggests that he's one of the finest that's ever played the position. However, we have seen Brock Purdy make plays and play in games this year that suggest to you that this is not a stage that is too big and the lights are not too bright. And, you know, this isn't a boxing match, right? So there are a lot of other players that are going to have to contribute. And I think the 49ers defense, I think obviously the talent that they have at the skill position on offense, Deebo Samuel is going to be healthy. Ayuk has developed. Obviously Christian McCaffrey's one of the best running backs in the league this year. They can put up points. So, and you're talking about a Kansas City, and here we go just overanalyzing this, right? But you're talking about a Kansas City offense that is not as explosive as it's been in the past. I don't think that this is a game where you can look at and just look at Patrick Mahomes' greatness and say that Kansas City is going to run away with this.
You talk about Brock Purdy and this stage doesn't seem to be too big for him. A big part of that is the work that Kyle Shanahan has done to get him ready and put him in the best position to succeed. We consistently talk about Kyle Shanahan as one of the best head coaches in the NFL, but it feels like that ability to be able to put himself into that elite conversation in the head coach and like the best head coach has eluded him because he has not got that Super Bowl yet.
Right.
Is this a legacy-defining game for Kyle Shanahan?
You know, I won't say it is because he's so young, he's going to be around for a while. So he's going to get back to some more Super Bowls. However, if he can pull this one off against Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, then I think he's made his mark. You know, the funny thing about Shanahan, I was at the Dallas Morning News when he was probably a bit receiver for the Longhorns. Who would have thought that we'd be talking about him like we've talked about him since he's become a head coach? Just a really remarkable student of the game, and he's showing it.
Yeah, I mean, we go talking from Kyle Shanahan as a head coach, then we look at some of the most bewildering news this as the NFL head coaching cycle closed is that we've got Mike Vrabel Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, legendary coaches within this league that, in my opinion, should be head coaches of NFL teams that are going to not have a head coaching role. What is your reaction to hearing that and to seeing that news come down?
Well, I mean, with Bill Belichick, you know, I think it's there just wasn't a fit. I don't even understand his fascination with Atlanta. I mean, he needs to be in a situation, I think, and I don't say he needs to because he needs help, but it would make sense that he would have been a guy for Dallas or a guy for Philadelphia, teams that are right there and they just need someone else to take over the steering wheel. The other jobs that were open this year, just they weren't attractive jobs. I mean, Washington, why would you want to come to that franchise? I'm from D.C. I grew up a Washington fan. You know, a franchise are just mired in muck. And the other situations just didn't have, you know, those weren't teams or franchises that are just can see at the end of a short tunnel the light of the Super Bowl. So, and with Mike Vrabel, you know, I'm not sure, but, you know, he's a relatively young guy. He'll go sit in somebody's pregame show next year, and I'm sure he'll be back in the year. And I'll bet that Belichick will be back in the year. But good for NFL owners and GMs to go in other directions this year, not be frightened by that. I mean, four of the first six hires were coaches of color, and we've talked about the problems with the NFL in terms of being as welcoming to athletes of color as they are to them as being coaches. So I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, as we're here all week on Radio Row, you're here today. What's your schedule look like as you go into Radio Row, and what are you talking about here?
Well, you know, I'm here today, as you pointed out, my Maryland shirt. People may not know, but I've been teaching journalism, sports journalism at the University of Maryland for about 15 years now. And one of my students is here, Torrance Banks, and the reason we're here is because Torrance and a number of other students put together a project on youth football, a data-driven investigative project, which basically showed that this existential threat that some people think may exist towards football because of brain injury is in some ways being remedied by black and brown parents who see the reward of youth football as being greater than the risk of injury to their kids at a very young age. So that despite all of the studies about brain damage, particularly at a young age, the Journal of American of the American Medical Association just a few days ago came out with a new study which showed that in fact adolescents who play tackle football suffer some brain damage, that these parents have put that aside for the reward of a college scholarship and a lottery ticket into the NFL. And it's a very sobering study. It's a six-part series that you can find on cnsmaryland.com. The video portion of it will be on PBS NewsHour in the coming days. And we just thought it was an important piece of investigative journalism done by students.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you said they can find that study at cnsmaryland.com.
Right? Exactly.
Awesome. Well, that is Kevin Blackstone here. I'm Kyle Yates. I'm PFN Live on Radio Row leading into Super Bowl 58. Don't go anywhere.